of In Defense of Humanity. This is Al Whitney, and we're listening to Thomas DiLorenzo talk about the Founding Fathers and how we lost the Constitution and how the states, which at one point were sovereign, and we were sovereign citizens of our respective states, how all power was removed to them and moved to Washington. I know Judge Anna von Reitzinger is working with people who are trying to restore state sovereignty. Lots of people believe that, in essence, we still are Pennsylvanians or Ohioans. I think that's an interesting concept. I don't feel like we're going to have much success in that unless something drastic changes, because they control the money. As long as they control the purse strings, they have a way of manipulating what the state government does, what the local government does, and, of course, what the federal government does. So it's worth discussing. It's worth thinking about whether or not we can restore sovereign states. I personally am not going to hold my breath on it. So let's listen to, I think it's the last clip, Sam, right? And then we'll take calls.
As John Taylor once again said, I'm quoting his book, the Constitution never could have designed to destroy liberty by investing five or six men installed for life with the power of regulating the constitutional rights of all political departments. That just never happened. But Daniel Webster used his authority to say that. And he went on and on and on in this debate about the people, the people, the people, the whole people. Here's one of his statements. He's in this debate. He says, it is, sir, the people's constitution, a people's government, made for the people, made by the people, and answerable to the people. The people of the United States have declared this constitution shall be the supreme law. So that was two big lies, that the whole people adopted the Constitution and they created a supremacy clause that makes it the supreme law. And this is, by the way, is where Abraham Lincoln plagiarized in his famous of the people, by the people, for the people speech in Gettysburg Address. It came from Webster. He was a devotee of the story, Hamilton's story, Webster play view of politics. And then Webster asked, well, he talked also about the general will. And he was more forthright than the story was. He asked in this debate, well, who shall interpret the people's will? And his answer is, and I quote, the government itself, of course, not the people. The people shouldn't have anything to do with it. Okay, and so this is what happened. We had this long battle in the courts and in public opinion and in politics over the nature of the union. And that battle finally ended in the 1860s when the nationalists quit arguing. They just gave up arguing and grabbed firearms instead. And that was finally ended. That argument was finally ended by the Civil War, so-called. And so, you know, after the Civil War, there was no more talk of decentralized government put into place by states' rights or the right of nullification or the right of secession. The argument ended, okay? And so they didn't win this battle through legal means or through public opinion or through political elections. The South dominated the political elections. The big majority of American presidents up to the Civil War were from the South and were Jeffersonians and opposed all of this. And I'm going to close with a quote from Murray Rothbard, since I started with a quote from Murray Rothbard. And this is a book that's, I think, is probably for sale out front. It's called Strictly Confidential, The Private Volcker Fund Memos of Murray Rothbard. And this is on page 131. Where Murray Rothbard is talking about the consequences of the Civil War. And you might remember my title. My title is Why the Constitution was had to be Destroyed and How They Did It. And so this is why the Constitution had to be destroyed. Murray Rothbard hit the nail on the head in this quote, which I'm going to read to you. It's kind of a long quote, but it really just says it all, I think. So this is why the Constitution had to be destroyed, in my view, and also Murray's view if he was still around. He said, and I'm quoting, it is the measure of the statist consequences of the Civil War that America never recovered from it. And, of course, Murray is writing in full knowledge that all the other countries of the world ended slavery peacefully, that ended slavery, the British, the French, the Dutch, the Danes, everybody, New Yorkers. You know, read the book Slavery in New York if you want to know how New Yorkers ended slavery by the 1850s. There were no wars involved there. And then he goes on to say, Hamiltonian neo-federalism beyond the wildest dreams of even a John Quincy Adams had either been foisted permanently on America or had been inaugurated to be later fulfilled. Let us trace the leading consequences of the war against the South. There is first the enormous toll of death, injury, and destruction. There's the complete setting aside of the civilized rules of war that Western civilization had laboriously been erecting for centuries. Instead, a total war against the civilian population was launched against the South. The symbol of this barbaric and savage oppression was, of course, Sherman's march through Georgia and the rest of the South, the burning of Atlanta, etc. He says, further, the Civil War foisted upon the country the elimination of Jacksonian hard money. The greenbacks established government fiat paper, which it took 14 long years to tame, and the National Bank Act ended the separation of government from banking, effectively quasi-nationalizing and regulating the banking system and creating an engine of governmentally sponsored inflation. So ruthlessly did the Lincoln administration overturn the old banking system that it became almost impossible to achieve a return. Impossible, that is, without a radical and almost revolutionary will for hard money, which did not exist. So he says, thus, on every point of the old Federalist Whig versus Democrat-Republican controversy, he means Hamiltonian versus Jeffersonian, the Civil War and the Lincoln administration achieved a neo-Federalist triumph that was complete right down the line. But that's not all. They had their version of the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act also in those days. And Rothbard describes it this way. But this was not all. The Civil War saw also the inauguration of despotic and dictatorial methods beyond the dreams of the so-called despots of 98. Militarism ran rampant with the arrogant suspension of habeas corpus, the crushing and mass arrests in Maryland, Kentucky, etc., the suppression of civil liberties in opposition against the war. Sound familiar? Among the peace copperheads, the persecution of Congressman Vallandigham, who was exiled, and the institution of conscription. And then he goes on to say, here's the final thing, almost everything in short that is currently evil on the American political scene had its roots and its beginnings in the Civil War. And that was Murray Rothbard. And none of this, as I said at the beginning, was constitutional under the original Constitution. That's why we had to have this long political and legal war that ended up in a shooting war to finally destroy the Constitution and create a monolithic, centralized monopoly government in Washington, D.C., under which we have slaved ever since.
Okay. Wow. That's certainly not what my history book said. However, I have read a little bit about, and Rod Class, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's got a talk show program, he's had one for years. He did one show where he was focusing on the Reconstruction Act. I mean, Thomas DiLorenzo mentioned that the Patriot Act and the National Defense Act, that they had one at the time, right after the Civil War, and I believe that probably could be considered to be both the Reconstruction Act and the 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment altered everything, and it was passed, according to what I've read, and I think others have talked about this on RBN, at the barrel of a gun, they had people voting for it. They didn't vote for it because they thought it was a good idea. They voted for it because they were threatened. So I think that's interesting information, but it sure helps understand why we can run around and scream and cry and say that's not constitutional and nothing changes. Okay, we have a caller from California. John, what did you think of all that, John?
Hello, Al. Pleasure to make your acquaintance by telephone. And I read Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo's two of his major books. One is called Lincoln Unmasked, and the other one is The Real Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And boy, did it set me straight. I thought Lincoln was a great president prior to that. I am from the state of Illinois, which has license plates which proudly proclaim the land of Lincoln. I thought, yeah, I knew something about him when my parents took me to his home in Springfield and town where he grew up, New Salem, and I didn't know anything. But I didn't. after I read both of DiLorenzo's books. By the way, he's a Roman Catholic author. I'll just throw that in for whatever it's worth. I got a completely different picture. He was a tyrant. He was a dictator. He had some dealings with the Rothschild London bankers. He had taken people who were survivors of the insurrections in Europe. They were called the 48ers. They came over in 1848 and put them in high places in the Union Army and in his administration. And these are all socialist communists who were trying to, you know, foment insurrection in Europe, and I don't know how successful they were. Not very, I guess. But the whole point is that the a lot of people today say that, for instance, one of the people wrote a book called The Red Amendment, which is about the 14th Amendment, and a lot of people think the 14th Amendment was our undoing as a country, but it really was not that. It was the war of northern aggression. The war had to be fought, whether there was slavery or not. If there were no slavery, the war still would have had to have been fought. They had to get rid of the two hallmarks of states' rights. Those two hallmarks is defined in both of Lorenzo's books in some great detail, are nullification and secession. And the people who were doing the secession between 1800 and 1855 or so were the northern Yankee states, Maine and Massachusetts. Did you know that during the War of 1812, that several of the New England states that I just mentioned, they were going to secede from the Union, and they definitely did not provide any soldiers to help Andrew Jackson in his quest to defeat the British, who were invading down at the mouth of the Mississippi down in New Orleans, and then there's this nullification thing. I'm not sure how much you've talked about this or knew about it, but the whole idea was that if one state legislature decided they didn't like a law that Congress had passed, they would figuratively flip their middle finger at the U.S. Congress and say, well, we're not enforcing that law in this state. And as soon as they did that and made it public, you know, at least four or five other states would join in it and say they're not going to do it either. So how can you have this strong federal government that's going to bring the whole world into military conquest and provide the basis for the new world order, the one world government through the League of Nations, then the United Nations, if you've got individual states' rights? So that all had to be trashed. Lincoln's trashed the Constitution. He put northern newspaper editors in jail for, you know, sent Union soldiers out to rough them up and burn down their buildings that house their presses, merely because they disagreed with him on taking up arms against their southern countrymen.
Right.
They may have stated that their opinion was that their secession from the Union was not correct, but they still didn't think that Lincoln had the right to do what he tried to, what he did successfully do militarily, and that was the beginning of the end of our country, in my opinion, based upon my readings of Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo plus several of other books in his bibliography that he mentioned in both of his books.
Yeah, I'm absolutely convinced you're right, and he didn't mention, I don't know, you read his books, I have not, he did not mention Alexander Hamilton and his connection to the Rothschilds. Now, I can't remember if I ran into that with Eustace Mullins' book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. I'm just remembering somewhere I read that Alexander Hamilton was an agent of the Rothschilds. Did you run into that?
Not in DiLorenzo's books. That's a very good point you just made, Al. What I just told you about the 48ers, are not mentioned in DiLorenzo's two textbooks either.
Right.
I had to do some online searching, and I don't remember the name of the book that I read, but there are several other books that came out in the early 2000s which is right around the same time DiLorenzo was releasing his book. So maybe he thought that since the other authors were covering it, especially the 48ers, that he wasn't going to try to duplicate their efforts. That could be. Maybe there was a gentleman's agreement there or something. I don't know. But I am convinced. Well, there was the names were named about how Lincoln put one of these people that tried to foment the insurrection in Germany. He was he was more than a brigadier general. He was a major general. I think a 2-star general. You know, he just came over, you know, from Europe, and then he was put in, you know, high command, and a lot of other people were put in, you know, high administrative positions in Lincoln's cabinets. So,
in Judge Dale's book, The Great American Adventure, he does talk about the 14th Amendment, and sadly, the people who some people get stuck on the 14th Amendment.
That's right. You're right. I agree with you. Yeah. I don't think.
You have to go to the next step, right? And the next step is the birth certificate and the national emergency and the New Deal. When you put them together, they set us up with the 14th Amendment. Then they brought in the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913. And then they converted us to collateral for the debt in 1933, when they confiscated our gold and they started the whole birth certificate scam. So you sort of have to look at each step to figure out what can we do now, because this is all, you know, history, and we're still stuck with a problem that we have to deal with today. So I like to include in the discussion, and I know the guy who wrote the Red Amendment does not, but I think he's making a mistake not to include the bankruptcy of 33 and the New Deal, because that really sealed it, I think. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you completely that nothing should be left out, and all of those are dots, you know, in a pattern, and they all, and it all is in alignment, in my opinion. I agree with you there completely. I'm just saying that without the trashing of the original trashing of the U.S. Constitution, the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, Lincoln was something of a micromanager. He was telling his generals in detail what to do, and he gave specific detailed instructions. DiLorenzo put recounted a letter that he had in his research about how he had told the ships get the southern Confederate hotheads to fire on their ships in order to relieve, you know, food-wise, a garrison at Fort Sumter, and even other northern newspapers editors were remarking that, geez, you know, because some people didn't have you know, cornbread biscuits or something to this effect, we're going to start a war, you know, and that's what really turned out. But the main issue was that a lot of people try to attribute it to slavery as being the instigator, sure. And it really had nothing to do with that. But that was just a smokescreen.
Yes, it was. Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be back soon.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
John dropped off. He had some great information to share. I'm sure that the listeners are aware that Lincoln was a lawyer. And the 13th Amendment, and we've got a piece on my website about the 13th Amendment. Judge Dale wrote a piece about it. A lot of people have exposed that for Lincoln to be holding the office of president was a violation of the 13th Amendment, but the 13th Amendment was disappeared. I believe the 13th Amendment was removed when they, in the War of 1812. They needed these lawyers in these positions, particularly in the position of Supreme Court Justice. So they were not about to allow the enforcement of the 13th Amendment. Okay, we have another caller, caller from North Carolina. Betty, are you there?
I sure am. You were referring to the common law that 1937 had been altered, that the Supreme Court could overrule the common law in the states, which would be, as I understand, the Seventh Amendment. And if the definition of common law includes criminal law, I could understand it. I went and looked up some stuff on the internet on the subject because I'm confused about how that common law was decided that the states didn't have that in 1937.
Well, they remember they brought in registration, but I generally don't talk too much about the common law because I've read several definitions, and they're all over the place.
Yep.
I don't think it's very clear at all what common law is. So it is true, however, they changed the legal system with Erie R.R. versus Tompkins in 1937. They also determined that the Social Security Act, which was going to ultimately require that the states turned over the information on their own citizens to the federal government to get Social Security.
Okay, so, that's helpful.
Yeah, that was a federalizing of our birth certificates, of the states' the state citizens were all of a sudden turned over as collateral for the national debt, and that brought in this nightmarish situation that we have today. And I'm not entirely sure that Thomas DiLorenzo understands economically what happened with the birth certificates and the registration of babies and all of that.
That larger context is very helpful. I do wonder why our founders included the word common law under the civil law court.
Yeah, that's a good question. And when you look up common law, it's not real clear, you know, that the common law is anything like the golden rule. So I'm not thinking that, you know, if we want the common law back, anyone's proposing a way to get the common law back, we better at least agree on a definition of what it is and what it is not, because I see definitions all over the place. Okay.
You're right on target. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Betty. That's great. I'm glad you called in. Okay, Jim from Missouri, are you there? Jim?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, number one, I want to thank you for presenting this because I don't know, was this a speech that Tom gave regarding his book? Where you got that?
No, he gave a speech to the Mises Institute, and you can get it online and you can watch the whole thing. When I listened to it, and I listened to it three times because I just thought it was just full of great stuff. He didn't seem to be selling a book. He's written quite a few books, though. But
I've got his the Real Lincoln book.
Okay.
That was actually given to me by Sons of the. Well, it was a. Oh, what do they call it? It was a Lee Jackson dinner.
Okay. Okay, hang in there. We got to go to break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Segment of tonight's show where we're talking about what happened to the Constitution, and we were talking to Jim. I wanted to say, Jim, I had some friends from the South, you're from the South, and they tried to tell me many years ago that the Civil War was not about slavery, it was about states' rights. Being from the North, I thought they were, I don't know, I just thought they were covering up the crimes that the South had committed. And now I wish I could go back and say, my gosh, you are so right. We are taught in school. In fact, now they're trying to bring down statutes and Southern flags, and they're trying to pretend there never was a Civil War. And certainly you're not going to hear on television that the South had the rights, the Southern states actually had the right to secede, and they were brought ruthlessly into the federal corporation. But what you were talking about, I wanted to give you the name in case you weren't listening. What the clips that I played tonight were from a talk that Thomas DiLorenzo gave at the Mises Institute in January 2012. He just seemed to be sharing information. I don't remember any mention of a book. And the name, you can type in YouTube dash Why the Constitution Had to Be Destroyed, and it will take you right to it, and you can listen to that 42-minute talk. He also has tons of articles on lewrockwell.com. So if you just type in lewrockwell.com and his name, Thomas DiLorenzo, you'll find just lots of good articles written by him. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, and you've read his... And you've read his books.
Well, yeah, and let's get to this is good information that I would really like John Stadtmiller to get on the homepage on Republic Broadcasting. This needs to be heard because I think he hit it dead on, and it's pretty. From everything that I've studied, it's spot on. It makes sense. They wanted to. They had to destroy it because otherwise, you know, we would be too free,
right?
Which they don't want. But let me tell you how it happened. This was back when Ron Paul was running for president back in 06. And. I was networking all over the country, and a guy up in the northern part of Missouri called me up one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to be down in your area, and I want to invite you to a Lee Jackson dinner." And I'm like, "Okay, what's a Lee Jackson dinner?" And he described it, and I'm like, "Oh boy, I got one of these rebels on my hands." And because, you know, I'd been spoon-fed this stuff forever.
Yeah.
So but the guy was a nice guy, and I said, okay, I'll go. So I went. Well, the Confederacy never surrendered. They threw, who was the president?
Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson, they threw him in jail, but he would not sign a peace treaty with them.
That's right.
And so the Confederacy, legally, lawfully, whatever, still exists. And yep. So anyway, this guy gets up to talk, and he is at the time, he was the president of the Confederacy.
Wow.
And he starts telling these, he's just talking about history. Well, for the first time in my life, I was told that how Arlington Cemetery was created. That was Robert E. Lee's plantation.
Wow.
When he surrendered, he was going home, and the Union soldiers, whatever, said, well, we can't have this. So they started burying soldiers all over his land.
Oh, my God.
So that he couldn't desecrate the land. And so he drove in and saw what they did, and he left. That is Arlington Cemetery.
Wow.
And I was just dumbfounded. I was like, I was never taught any of this. And then they were giving away these door prizes, and the guy that invited me, he won a door prize, and he walked over and he picked up this book, The Real Lincoln by Tom DiLorenzo. And I read that book that night.
Yep. Amazing.
And I was dumbfounded. I was like, oh no, another lie. Here it is.
Well, and we know that the Rothschilds, they wanted a national bank. They wanted in control of the banking system and the currency. And they were not going to quit until they got that. And yep. For the South, and as you recall, and I'm sure all of us recall, the South was making their own currency. They had their own currency, and Rothschild was not going to allow that to happen. Half the country would be on a different currency? No way. Because wonder if other states wanted their own currency. That's exactly
what
Well,
yeah, because they could. Yeah, because they couldn't make interest on it.
Exactly. I mean, without his control over currency, he loses his control, period. And they knew that.
Yeah, but I'm fully on board with you. This is really important information. I don't know if you saw the article about the white people up in Virginia and Charlottesville or something like that the other day that stood up because they're going to take down a statue of Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
And turn into a big battle. And I know that the leftist newspapers, they said a bunch of white supremacists. And no, they're just a bunch of white people that said, hey, we've had enough.
Yeah, I agree.
We're being discriminated against. You're trying to wipe out white history from this country, and we're not going to let it happen. And I'm in full support of what they did. And
yeah.
People need to wake up because they're coming at it. You know, when you've got, and I'm not. I'm not discriminatory or anything, but when you've got 15% of your population that are blacks, Black Lives Matter, and they matter more important than the whites, that is the vast majority, there's something wrong, and somebody's pushing that agenda, and they're trying to divide everybody. It's divide and conquer. It's the same old thing.
Yeah, it is. We have some other calls. I'm glad you called in.
Okay.
Now, this article that I mentioned, people might find it interesting because Tom DiLorenzo talks about Trump and a federal judge in that. So he's kind of also reporting on, with his knowledge of the past, on what's happening to the Trump administration. I also want people to understand that Tom DiLorenzo is saying what I have said for a long time, and people don't seem to want to give up voting. But he's saying, why would you vote for this unconstitutional government? Every time you vote, you are giving support of this unconstitutional dictatorship. And I've said that so many times, and people just don't want to give up this voting thing, but they don't work for you. At what point will people recognize they don't work for our welfare? They're working for corruption. They're working to feather their own caps. And they're in endless wars using our name to boot. Okay. Thanks for calling in, Jim. We have another caller, Roxanne in Texas. Roxanne, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, sorry. I get a delay here. I just want to try to bring people back just a little bit further past George Washington. There were several presidents before George Washington. And I believe, from what I've read throughout time, is that George Washington and everybody since are part of the cabal or the Rothschilds or whatever name you want to stamp it with. But this country was set up to fail, like all countries. That's the way it is. And it's like a punch in the gut. But, you know, we could say, well, it was Lincoln, it was this guy. No, it's right from the start. And that's the hard part for all of us.
I don't know, Roxanne. I think the Jefferson, if you read the Jefferson papers, there was an intent there to have something better. There were quite a few there who were, and he mentions them, some presidents who really wanted to make the idea work. They weren't all part of...
I agree, but it's part of the same, let's give them hope and then pull the rug right out from under them.
Well, okay.
I mean, it's out there, but that's out there. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. I forgot. I went past Fred from Michigan. I see that. Sorry, Fred. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Speaking of Trump, I recently saw an astonishing YouTube presentation entitled Trump is a Swamp, Trump's Elite Jewish Mafia. You ought to see that.
Okay.
I think it's called the Zionist Report, and they go through, these are U.S. veterans, they go through and they ID all of the Jewish elite mafia that funded, supported in any way, in all ways, Trump's campaign, et cetera. It's immensely unsettling, shall we say. I saw, remember Tom Lacovara Stewart? You remember him, right?
Yes.
Okay, last fall, somewhere around Halloween time, Tom, for a whole week, I think he was on vacation or whatever, he aired a YouTube presentation called The Hidden Cult, The Jewish Ritual Murder. And for the first time in my life, I finally learned the etiology or origin of the Holocaust, which goes back to 300 B.C. Carthage, when these original, whatever you want to call them, satanic Jews would kidnap and murder by in a process called death by a thousand cuts, using things like or other. And they would drink it, or use it in some kind of very bizarre ritual, in the belief that by doing so they would attain or would induce the return their fire, which, of course, they did murder.
You're fading in and out. I don't know if it's, Sam, is it his phone or is it our RBN? It's his phone. I'm sorry. You're fading in and out, Fred. Maybe you can move to a different phone and call back. Okay. I'm sorry, Fred. I mean, we were missing, you know, at least a third of what you were saying. Okay, let's take the next caller. Keith from Indiana. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, I hope I don't fade in and out, too. Just a few points. You know, this whole Von Mises Institute, part of this whole libertarian thing, you got to be careful. I've listened to DiLorenzo, and I've listened to Michael Gaddy, and there's YouTubes. He does some pretty good presentations about the history of the Civil War and why it matters today. You can go to those. But, you know, let me ask you a question, Al. You know, you hung up on me last time. I was trying to say something about the Bible, and you put me on mute forever and hung up on me. So I know you don't like the Bible. Okay, so we won't talk about that. But
wait a minute.
Where was Abraham? Just a minute, Keith.
Okay, let's not start out like that. We've been talking about the Civil War and DiLorenzo. We have not been talking about the Bible. So let's not start out with the Bible, okay?
Okay, I'm not starting out. I'm just saying that you don't want to hear it. I understand that. That's why I'm not, you know.
The topic tonight.
Where was Abraham Lincoln born?
I don't know. Probably in Illinois.
No, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Guess who his half-brother was? Same mother, different fathers.
Don't know.
Jefferson Davis.
Okay.
Who was Judah P. Benjamin? You know anything about him?
Okay, now you're going to tie this in, right?
Yeah, because it's 100% Edomite run, controlled. Your Constitution was nothing about your... It's nothing other than your enslavement. It was nothing about freedom. That was to destroy any hope of any real common law coming from the Bible. That's what it was.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's what DiLorenzo's talking about. The struggle, the battle that was going on between the controllers, and they were the money monsters as far as I can see. And
okay. Mm-hmm.
They wanted a centralized system. They wanted control over money. They wanted control over the resources and control over the economy. Then you did have a group of people who did believe in states' rights and were afraid a centralized government would be unwieldy and they wouldn't be able to control it. And it turns out those people were right.
Yeah, well, let me just say one thing here. You know, did you ever hear of the sub-treasury or the independent sub-treasury, which ended in 1921?
Yes.
The federal government, which was the national government, really, never dealt in specie again in 1921, not
in
1933. Did you ever hear of that?
Yes, in 1920. Congress turned over the Treasury to the Federal Reserve Bank, lock, stock, barrel, and desks. Independent Treasury Act of 1920.
Yeah, well, no, that was the end of the Treasury. There was no Treasury. See, it became the Department of the Treasury under the international law of conquest from the international bankers who were Edomites, who conquered America.
Well, yeah. I think we kind of know
that. Dad, we've been ruled internationally.
Oh, I think we've talked about that. I don't understand why you think we don't understand that.
Well, because I don't even think you could answer the top 100 questions important about the Bible. You couldn't even get one right. You couldn't do it.
Well, thank you. But that's not what's on the topic tonight. And the Bible is just simply unimportant. Okay. We have another, oh gosh, we're running out of time. Sorry, we're not going to be able to take your call, Ken. Please stay tuned and listen to our imaging prayer that we do the last 5 minutes of every program. We should be spending some time and energy imaging the world that we know we deserve, the future that we know our children deserve, and there is power in this kind of exercise. Good night.
That crosses the blood-brain barrier because it is a magnesium L3N8 and magnesium L3N8. malate and glycinate. Magnesium L-threonate, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, protects the brain from oxidative stress, and in knockout mice was able to protect against the memory loss and Alzheimer's. It dramatically increases cognitive health, improves sleep quality, stabilizes the mood, and works wonderfully with calm mind as a combination drink supplement. Order NutraMedical's Brain Mag at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. This is the best nutraceutical for calming your brain, protecting memory and brain function, and prevention of Alzheimer's.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.